Hello, KCIW listeners, and welcome to Curry Cafe, where we put together a panel of volunteers and guests who discuss various topics from whimsical and fun to more serious subjects.
Okay, here we are again for another edition of the Curry Cafe, but this is a special edition, very special edition, because we are live. We are live. There's four people actually sitting in a room here with beating hearts.
Oh, my word. As opposed to before, were we not alive? No, we're talking about live.
No, we're alive. People are listening to us at this very minute. People are putting into the Fred Meyer parking lot wondering where we are. And here's where we are. We're not hiding out at home and playing this show a week after we recorded it.
Yep. Okay.
No, this is the real deal today. And what's even more exciting is you can participate if you want. If somebody here says something you don't like or something you love or you want to wish your mother a happy birthday or something, you can participate. Text us at 541-661-4098. 541-661-4098. And before we get into today's subject, I have a little bit of a little announcement to make. I'm sure most of you have probably forgotten this, but today is National Pathologist Assistant Day. I know what you're thinking. You say, "Oh boy, does time fly!" It seems like it was just last week at Pathologist Assistant Day. Well, that's the way it is. But this—I checked it on the calendar. That's what today is. And if we have any time at the end of the show, we'll give you some pointers on how you can appreciate your pathologist's assistance.
Well, you know, every day is important to someone.
To someone, yes. Yep. Okay, the subject for today, one more thing about today being a live show, and it's the first time. You may want to go get your family to Bible or wherever it is that you store or remember important events in your family's life, and you can put in there that you were there on the first live broadcast of
Time capsule.
It would be like if you were at the Hindenburg or something like that.
We'll remember it in the future.
Wouldn't have been at the Hindenburg.
On the day the Curry, Curry Cafe.
Phone's calendar.
Okay.
It'll come up every year.
Okay, and if you don't have a Bible or something like that, I'd suggest you get one. Anyway, yeah, I mean, we all know that there's a place you can get a Bible at a very reasonable cost.
Oh, please, we're not going there, are we?
Not yet. We'll get there. I think we'll get there. Okay, anyway, today's subject is, we keep hearing on the news that this is the furthest the American people have been apart since the Civil War. That's not even close to being true, but we are definitely apart. We have stores we won't shop in and things we won't do because they're on the other side of this issue, which is obviously the Republican-Democrat issue. I should say the Trump-Democrat issue. So we need to recognize the problem, and then we need to see what we can do about it.
Well, that's a tall order, expecting us to do something about it. But
hey, we are...
Are we the experts?
We are Curry Cafe. We will fix it. At the end of this hour...
We will have resolved it all, I'm sure. I tell you, it seems to me that there's no other way to look at it other than to say that there are people who have a brain that is wired in such a way that there are things that they can firmly believe, and there's no talking them out of it. And if I can expand on that a little bit, I would say that if you are susceptible to strong belief systems, then you are likely not to be moved, no matter what. If you believe in a God that's running your life completely, then it might be likely that you would believe that there are other things going on over which you have no control, but they're just true to you. So I don't know how you move people off of their belief that no matter what we people who don't think that way believe, whatever's going on is the God's truth to these people. How do you move people off of a strong belief system? I don't know. Isn't that the issue?
I need to just interject something here quickly. We did invite somebody from the other side, if you will, to be here today, and he didn't.
You mean a conservative, right?
Conservative, yes. Okay. You said the word, the C word. And also, I went to a Trump rally yesterday and tried to rally some people to participate with KCIW, and I'll follow those up with emails today and see what we can come up with. Okay, Rick.
Well, somebody speak up here, because otherize I could rattle on.
You did, surely. Somebody is going to speak up. If you will just be quiet for a
minute. Okay, well,
here we go.
You know what we need to do? We need to do one of those things where you have an apple, right? And you can't talk unless you have the apple. Have you ever done one of those?
We can pass it around here.
Okay.
Rick. Part of the panel here today.
I was in one of those things one time. And about the third time the apple came to me, I just ate the apple.
All right.
So again, part of the panel, I'm Rick McNamer, a volunteer board member here, and I'm the one that sought out our conservative supposed guest, but yeah, he did not show, and that's a bummer because we wanted somebody of a possible opposing view in this. What could this be, a controversial topic, or I don't know?
Yeah,
we're talking about how can we eventually, sometime in the future, I don't think it's going to happen now, but come together with as divisive as our politics are these days. My opinion, quick opinion, is in the near future, no. I hope that we maybe will find some solutions today. And maybe in the future, again, if people are out there want to text in their advice, please do. So,
yeah, you can text us at 541-661-4098.
Hi, I'm Kathy Justman of the CHETCO Activity Center and other things around town. I've lived here 20 years. I saw a tea party 10 or 12 years ago down at the harbor. I went because it was announced on the radio and I wanted to find out what they were talking about. So then it was about less taxes, and it's really changed in the last few years. It's become more a wider chasm, and it's kind of scaring both sides. But I think fear is not the emotion that's going to help us get through this. So we've got to try to understand the other people. And the people, as you said, there was a rally yesterday, and I drove through they were driving like a parade through Harbor. Yeah, I was going the other way, and I honked high on my rainbow van. I waved and honked my rainbow van, and they honked back at me. But sometimes they blow diesel smoke on my rainbow van. So, I'm trying to be friendly.
I went down there yesterday too, and I didn't see the usual Dooley diesel pickup trucks spewing smoke. I don't know. Maybe they limited who they were allowed.
During the parade, they won't, because they'd be blowing it on each other.
good point.
The thing I don't understand.
When we were walking down CHETCO Avenue, and I'm sure you were there on some of those pre-COVID walks where we were, it was Democrats and progressives and maybe some other friendly people were walking with us for science and for women's rights. Those were two rallies that I remember. So we walk and they drive their pickup trucks. And that's one difference between us. What are some other differences that we
They were, and they also would come up to us and rev their engines.
Blows the smoke. Yeah.
I'm not sure what that was all about.
I think they increase the RPM.
I wanted to have
maybe there's a button on the dashboard.
Well, I know how you rev the engine.
Comes out.
I know how you rev the engine. Was that supposed to show that the truck was angry or they were angry? I wanted to have a similar rally with electric cars.
Which are almost silent.
Yeah,
so.
Completely silent, yeah. It wouldn't have been.
Well, I've been sitting here thinking that basically what's happened is people are not taught civics in school. We're not talking about how the government is being run. We're talking about a cult of personality. So we've stepped away from really thinking about if you have a plank in your platform, which is the way it used to be done, to say, well, this is what we believe in. We as Democrats believe in these concepts. We as Republicans believe in these concepts. Well, that's kind of gone away because of the internet, because of television, because of all of the media that's gotten involved, so that now, rather than looking at how are we supporting a point of view in laws that we're interested in helping the people, so to speak, it's now about who can we hate and who can we blame and why is everything wrong and why aren't I getting what I want? And it has ceased being about, if you vote for a person, what are you getting? Are you getting an opportunity for things to happen in your life that you would like to have happen? Or are you just finding a way to be angry? And I think what the Trump movement has done is said, you can be as angry as you like about anything that you like, and we will support you because we're just mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. And they don't even know what they're mad at anymore. They're just angry. So...
Well, that's they want point. Their own way, and it used to be live and let live. So Congress used to be about making deals and making compromises. And since they're not learning how the government works in school, as you said, there's no civics, and they're not learning the history of these things, then they think that right now it's about who can shout the loudest and who can have the most moral indignation. And they won't give in, at least lately, which is why nothing's moving in Congress. So it's not live and let live anymore. It's not compromise anymore. It's my way or the highway, buddy. And so that's the part that kind of creates a feeling of anxiety and fear in my side, your side, in everybody's side.
I jotted down a few things that I thought, again, I certainly wish we would have had the guest here, but it's okay. It's a moot point now. But I jotted down what I thought maybe there could be coming together of these certain items. Helping Ukraine, I threw that out there. I would think everybody would want to help Ukraine dealing with Putin.
Rick, they've found reasons to not help Ukraine. They say there are Nazis in the Ukraine and that the Nazis are preventing Christians from worshiping the way they want to and persecuting Christians. Although we know that Ukraine is a Christian country, it doesn't matter what the facts are. It's a Nazi country now.
Well, the idea that we're spending money on another country is a crazy idea. First of all, there's no reason we shouldn't. We're spending money on another. We're giving money to Israel, for crying out loud, which is certainly not a third world or a poor country. But people just read a little bit of their history and they will see that, you know, that's how people take over.
You know? Yeah, but you see what you're, Kathy, what you're saying and you too, well, everybody is saying is this does really seem to come down to religion in the end, and unfortunately. And when the people who established this country said, we don't want the king to be in charge of our religious thought, which is the way it was in England. They said, no, there is no, there will be separation of church
there
and
will
state.
Be no establishment.
Well, people have thrown that out the window now, and it's all about power in the end. It's power. If you are white and Christian, then you belong here, and if you're not, then you don't. And that's a very simple kind of logic. But that seems to be driving the what we call the right and the conservative point of view. So, yes. What?
Okay. And sadly, it does come down to religion, and that is driving a younger generation away from even considering the purpose of religion, because it seemed like the purpose of religion is division, war, disagreement, or even one side being dominant and telling everyone what to do, even if it's their religion and nobody else's. So it's another thing that causes anxiety.
there are Christian religions against each other.
The
right is not doing all that good a job of
putting, I didn't want to say fundamental religion, but I guess I have to make it clear.
Yeah.
Because there are fundamentalist Christians, and then there are liberal Christians. And they're very, 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 very different.
I don't even know what that means anymore. I honestly.
I have to get back real quick to Ukraine and Ray, yes. But I was interested. Now, you said, so do you personally not feel we should be sending money?
Oh, my God, we should be sending everything we possibly can.
Oh, okay.
We have Putin now testing the waters.
Yeah, thank you. That's where
I'm
going.
And the interesting thing, though, is that even if he wins in Ukraine, it doesn't look like he has the resources to do it in another country.
Well,
I'm like most people. We all thought that he would walk over Ukraine in a weekend.
Right.
But it turns out he's having a hell of a damn time just keeping
right.
where he is.
So, right.
And his resources are not near what we thought they might be.
Yeah. And again, that's an issue I thought we could cross. Democrats, Republicans, shouldn't we all be hating Putin? I do. I think most people do. But I don't understand the reticence from the GOP Congress to not put money towards that.
But Rick, you just said something that I think is worth examining a little bit. We should all be hating Putin. See, if we didn't have that in our world to say, there's got to be somebody we can hate, that's basically it. So who do we hate? Who do we love? Now, if you were going from a strictly religious point of view, saying, why don't we love everybody? You know, hate what they do, but don't hate the person. That maybe is a nuance, but it really isn't. We have really set people up to say, there's got to be somebody out there for you to hate. And that in itself is a problem. So
you mean just having hate?
Just hate, yeah. Why do we have to hate people? Yeah.
Boy, there are enough people out there. I can't say that I don't hate these people because I do.
Yeah. Hate what they're doing.
You can go Hezbollah, Hamas, and all of that. So, well, okay, and I get that, but I just wanted to cover just a couple more that I thought.
Please.
Maybe we could get together on certain things. Women's health in general, health care, Republicans, Democrats, we all suffer from that.
About control.
Okay. Okay.
Isn't
but
it?
Again, isn't that one where we should be coming together a little more rather than the infighting that's going on right now?
Yes, but see, it isn't about the issue. It's about who's got control.
Okay.
And I think we all understand what that's about, right?
Okay.
If you can
you're looking for items to compromise on. And as I said earlier, compromise is not what the government can do right now. Some people want compromise, and if other people don't, there's no discussion. And that's what's happened. It's a stagnant Congress right now.
It's very easy to get a movement going when you have a very definite thing, like abortion, all right? Now, one side says, it's my business what I do with my body. The other side says, well, wait a minute, there's a baby in there that it became human at conception. And then there are people who just flat don't get it. I saw an interview yesterday with a politician from Arizona, and he was saying, well, what's the big deal? You know, it's not the end of the world, I think is what he was saying, if you have to jump on a bus and go to another state.
I saw that too. It was horrifying.
You know, there's times I'm thinking, I'm waiting for somebody to say, live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Yeah.
Many times.
It feels insane, and it is in its own way.
And it's no big deal if they're going to put her doctor in jail if she does get an abortion
right.
from him. Yeah, it's no big deal.
So you have a 19-year-old who's dead broke or whatever, or anybody who is pregnant and doesn't want to be, and it's no big deal if they just get on a bus and go to the next state
by themselves.
Evidently, this guy didn't think that
every time
the woman got pregnant by herself, she could.
Yeah, I was just going to say, every time this subject comes up, we leave the man out of it entirely, and so. That's the thing that is really so crazy, is it takes two to tango unless somebody's being in vitro fertilized. So why is the woman always taking blame? Why is she at fault? Why should she be punished? I mean, even Trump said in an interview that he thought the woman should be punished. if she had an abortion. Now, what's that about?
He said that several times in the last 20 years.
So why? I mean, this is a whole other subject, but it really is vital to what we're talking about.
If you take Trump literally, he's advocating Sharia law, you know, and he wants, and the people behind him want the same punishments here that they have in the most theocratic country in the Middle East that you can think of, you know, and that is everything's the woman's fault. If something bad happens, she's the one who gets the beating, the stoning. It's all up to women when bad things happen.
But here in the good old U.S. of A., if women's rights are taken away, what are we really talking about? Taking it back to when women didn't have a voice, when they couldn't vote. That's all, you know, the woman is being shuffled off to the side, but she's also being spotlighted as the one who is at fault. And so I keep wondering where we're going to go with this eventually. If you say you have a Republican point of view, I no longer understand what that is. It just feels like if we can find a way to hurt you or punish you in some way or take away your rights, then we're going to do it because that makes us strong. But where are they going with this?
Survival of the fittest.
Well, do they really want us to become a country where Trump is the king?
Yeah, and the men are in charge because it's survival of the fittest.
So,
and health care is not provided because it's survival of the fittest. Food stamps are not provided because it's survival of the fittest. So that's what all this fundamentalist Christianity boils down to. If people give you gifts, you will be weak. And if nobody gives you anything, you will be strong. Everything comes from God and Jesus. That is the MAGA stand, as far as I can see it.
That's horrifying.
And you need to send money to God. I watched that. This one of these mega church preachers, the one that recently had a shooting in it, he was talking about when you give money, you're not giving it to me or the church, you're giving it to God, and God will repay you that.
Yeah, no, it's
hold
crazy,
it now.
Crazy
hold
land.
It, hold
crazy
it.
Land.
What's God? Why does he need money?
He's got everything.
He could just say, let there be. let there be Alexis in my driveway, and it's there, you know.
Well, I want to go back and ask what we can do. We started this out today to say, okay, what can we do? Well, we can look at our own community government. We can look at our county, our city, our county, our state, and eventually to what's going on in Washington. But are we making any real progress if we're giving money to these things? Because if we don't overcome the idea, because this is an idea, and I think Biden and other people have said this, America is an idea. We are here because we have this idea that we believe these certain things. Now, if we stop believing them, if that idea no longer rings true, then what are we? And that's what I think we're all afraid
Shirley,
of.
I think my biggest fear, I said I was scared a couple of other times, but I'm afraid that they're also aiming to take away Social Security.
Well,
and that will affect my children and grandchildren. It could affect me, but basically they're going to, if Congress can do that, if enough Republicans get elected, if Congress can phase out Social Security, they'll still do it gradually. They won't take it away from the people who are really old or you and me who already are getting it. I don't think. What they'll do is phase it out so that my children and grandchildren, you know, if they become disabled, if they become sick, there's no safety net. There's nothing for the old people.
And then
in
they'll
20,
wonder
30
people
years,
are on the street.
There's nothing for the people on the street. There's nothing for the old because, you know, FDR had a great idea during a depression, and we now count on it. But that great idea, it's only 20 years older than Roe versus Wade. So they'll get rid of it if they can, because they want 1800s government.
Trump has said he wants to
1800s laws. That's the way they want it.
He said he's going to revisit Social Security and Medicare. And Medicare, was that the other thing? Yes, I think it was.
Well,
we know what revisit means.
He was going to protect them, and then in the next day or two, didn't he? Then he came out with something else. I mean, what can you do?
He also said he was going to improve them, but you know, everything he says is the reverse of what he says.
We were going to have the greatest health care in the world, if you remember.
Yeah,
he knew more about health care than anybody.
Yeah.
So, we now have that greatest health care.
But see, we come right back again to saying, why do people believe the words that fall out of this man's mouth? Because now, evidently, whether we like it or not, the Republican Party is the MAGA Party. Now, why are those people so eager to go in his direction? Why are they not saying, no, 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 like they did in the beginning? Because in the beginning, those same people that now so-called kiss his ring were the ones who said, this guy's crazy. He's nuts. I mean, he's a con man. What happened to them that they
I
turned around?
I think I have your answer.
I hope you do.
When Obama was elected, they went nuts. They went crazy. They wanted revenge. There was a black man representing the United States in the world. And now they want their due back.
I think there's probably more than one reason, but that's certainly a big part of it, I'm sure.
Oh, I think that's very valid. Yeah. And then they turned it around. And part of this is true. This is how I read that, how during Obama's reign, racism got worse. That was their trope, if you will.
Right.
But in a way, it did, because they were so hateful. I'll use that word again. And believe me, I have some friends that were that way, and I can feel the hate of a black man being in a president. And so
supposedly Trump has said to one of his aides while Obama was president, he says, what country in the world is successful that has a black leader?
Oh, he said many things like that.
Yeah.
But the problem is that people listen to him, and he says all these crazy things, and people go, yeah, that sounds right. And back to my original point, what is going on with an individual who would say, yeah, that sounds right, instead of, wait a minute, stop, hold the press, what's going on here?
He's a charlatan, and a lot of charlatans get a lot of people behind him.
Why? Why do they believe him?
Every day there's, during the first couple of years that he was kicking around, I thought, well, okay, that's it. He will not survive what he just said. I can't remember what the most recent thing was, but there was something he said recently that I thought, nobody's going to agree with that. He's going to be ostracized. No, but he survived it. He went through the Access Hollywood. Is that what it was? Where he was talking about how he was hitting on married women when he was married himself, and the parts of their anatomy he could touch that we're not allowed to say for some reason. I guess we could say it if we want to, but that would be crude. We don't want to be crude. Locker room talk.
Yeah, boy talk.
That would even be crude locker room talk.
Yeah.
I've been in some locker rooms. And you know what? When in those locker rooms, I would hear guys brag about their successes, but never their failures. And he was talking about it. He just couldn't do it. Huh?
Right. You know, and since we're talking about both sides sometimes, and I hear this a lot, how, both sides have their extremists. Both sides... to a point, that's true, but I don't believe that both sides are equally dangerous.
Oh, gosh,
really believe that the Proud Boys and the white Aryan, whatever, they're extremely more dangerous than anything that I've seen coming from the left.
The Democrats don't have anybody like that, do they? I mean, we're even losing the police. I'm concerned about if there were this revolution, which there's not going to be the way they... There's a really stupid movie out now that I've seen, The Coming Attractions of, and about there being black hawks in the street and stuff like that. I don't think that will occur.
So from the MAGA... First time I said that into the speaker, but from the MAGA point of view, the extremists on the liberal side are those members of Congress who are a different race or who look like they're from a different country because their parents were from a different country. And those are the people that they call and label as extremists. This is a very racist race we're in right now. Those are the people they're afraid of. AOC, Schumer, anybody who can speak well, is a well-educated Jewish person, a well-educated Latina woman. These are the people they fear, and they call them extremists. Their weapons are words, whereas the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys, their weapons are automatic weapons. So we are fighting with words. We're fighting bullets with words.
When he said during the debate that the Proud Boys could stand down and stand by.
Boy, I understood.
I could not believe I heard him say that the debate. I mean, what?
In a presidential debate.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then there was another time he was talking to an audience of police officers. They had a bunch of police officers behind him. I don't remember where it was. And they were talking about arresting gang people or something. And he said something to the effect of, well, you don't have to be too careful, you know, when you're putting them in the car or something.
Oh, yeah. Like. Don't protect their heads when you're putting them in.
And they cheered.
Yeah.
I'm a retired police officer. I was never so disgusted with my fellow brothers in arms in my life. And within days, I mean, police chiefs from all over the country were jumping up and saying, no, that's not law enforcement's job.
I'm glad you said that because I didn't know that. I did my most recent. I heard where the head of the Michigan Police Union or something had backed Trump.
Yes, I saw that too.
Now I didn't know about the follow up with other police organizations saying no. That's a good thing.
This police departments and there's police departments.
Well, you know, it seems to me it's very simple. There are people who feel that somehow they're not getting their fair share, and whatever that happens to be. And if you are dead set against anything that will get in your way because you feel weak in some area and you want to feel strong, then you will step on as many people to climb up to the top to look like the strong winner, and you don't care what happens in between. There's a big middle of people who haven't got a clue what's going on and don't know what to do about it, and maybe we're in that pot too. But we're really talking about people who don't care about anything except getting in their own way. You know, we want to be strong. We want to be at the top. We want to have control. We're going to be in charge. We're going to tell everybody else what to do. And if we don't like them, well, we'll just throw them in jail. And if we really don't like them, we'll shoot them, you know. But it's a drive to gain this kind of power, which really comes out of weakness in the end. If you're strong, you don't need to do that. If you're a strong man, you don't need to belittle a woman. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And so all of this other stuff is just garbage that's in the way. Because it's really people who are saying, yeah, I like this guy because he's strong. No, he's not. He's telling you that you can trample on everybody else and get what you want, and that's going to make you look strong. Well, I don't see it that way. But am I in the minority?
He frequently talks about the strong leaders in the world, China, Russia, North Korea. These are the strong leaders. Does that mean that that's what he is going to be, strong leader?
That's what
leader?
He wants to do, yes, exactly.
Like Putin, if somebody insults him, they kill him. I mean,
well, exactly.
So there are some people in the world to whom paternalism is not a bad thing, chauvinism is not a bad thing, dominance, having someone dominating you is considered not a bad thing. It's part of your religion, maybe. So these are not bad words for some groups of people.
I can't remember who it was telling me this recently, though, that the best form of government is a benevolent king. You know, that's well known, you know. But
yeah, benevolence being the key word there.
Yeah, because you're benevolent for about an hour, and then you can do, you know, absolute power corrupts absolutely.
You know, since our guest didn't make it, and that's a drag, I did write down some things that I was thinking, okay, play devil's advocate, really, I guess. But there are things that I could probably agree, like government waste and fraud. There is that. I think there is that. And I had the COVID relief fiasco, kind of a lot of money got spent that shouldn't have been spent. Now, and I do that because I did write down what I thought one of the GOP main things is, decreased government in all facets, national, state, and local. I think that's on the top of their agenda.
Yeah, that's a clever idea. That's like saying, if you're not able to pay your household bills, then let's just take 10% off all those
household bills instead of one at a time. That's the same kind of thing. Yeah, let's cut across the board cuts.
Well, but anyway,
let me. I just need to
interrupt
for just a minute. Do a little station break here.
Oh,
you're listening to
Curry
Cafe. Thank you. That's why there's a group.
Okay,
Curry Cafe at KCIW. Okay. 100.7.
Okay, and then the other one was there. Couple of when they assisted a lot of the renters because they couldn't, I mean, and which was a good deal, but they didn't pay too much attention to landlords who were
in
trouble.
At some,
and I thought, well, again, that's just a point where I thought everybody could come together. We got to change that. And I did look into a little bit of government fraud, and I'm a backer of government, but the stats that I came up with were, let's see, 2023 improper payments for the federal government reached $236 billion, and the last 20 years, fiscal years, $2.7 trillion. Now, this is from the Government Accountability Office. My point is, trying to, again, play the other side a little bit, we do have issues on our side, if you will, and...
Well, it depends on who is getting paid that makes the difference.
These numbers apparently were from fraud and overpayments. And again, this came from the Government Accountability Office.
So who's doing that? It's like if you think that only rich people should get tax breaks, for example, because they contribute.
The
illusion is they contribute to giving jobs to all of those other people. So therefore, they're never going to be at fault because they're at the top of the ladder and everybody else is beholden to them, so to speak, instead of the other way around. But I think we still have to get back to the idea that we've lost track as a country of there is no moral compass anymore. Anything goes. Anything you say is okay. Anything you do is okay, as long as you're supporting your team. And it's like we've turned our government and our people into like a football game almost. You know, whose side are you going to cheer for?
Good analogy.
If you have to kick the other guy and knock him in the head so they have to carry him off on a stretcher, then so be it, you know, as long as you win, you know.
That's about a year ago when they were beating up Oriental people for some reason, or Asian people, I'm sorry. Little old ladies on the street were getting beat up. Because Trump had been complaining about China, the China flu.
So is everybody who's acting out, are they just waiting for an opportunity for somebody to give them the okay for their bad behavior? Do they think they're contributing some way in doing that? You know, we're either a melting pot or we're not, you know?
You kind of wonder, all these people didn't have parents that taught them how they were supposed to act.
Yeah, well, don't get me started on that subject.
Well, you know, what you said about, that's true and sad, Ray, about people getting beat up and killed. Trump and the MAGA folks, I think, are good at, not a good thing to be good at, having those subtle little wink, wink, nod, nod.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like you call
dog whistle.
Yeah, and then foment the masses to commit these crimes.
Yeah, they're animals. They're animals that are coming in. They're causing disease and poisoning our blood.
But, you know, these people that listen to somebody with that kind of attitude and they say, yeah, that sounds right. Let's go to that judge's house and let's bang on the door, and when somebody comes to the door, let's just go ahead and shoot them, because you know they're not on our team somehow. This wide open permission to act out in the most awful way is something that I'm concerned about, because these people who do follow that point of view feel like they're doing the right thing. This is the right thing to do, is to harass these people and give them a hard time and make sure their lives are miserable, because they don't deserve their point of view because they're not with us. So we're armed camps almost, literally armed camps now. where is it going to go? I'm very curious to see what will ultimately happen. If Trump wins again, are we done? If he doesn't, will there be a giant uprising on the other side?
Let me get the text number again.
Pardon me?
The text number, if somebody wants to join in the conversation, is 541-661-4098.
Okay. Anybody?
I'm sorry.
Well, Shirley, you just asked a big question. You know, will life in America change when Trump is elected? Assuming people are prevented from voting in certain places and neighborhoods, and certain polls are closed so that people can't vote. The most awful thing that we can imagine could happen. How would life in America change in that case? I mean, voting would possibly change because...
Well, you wouldn't need it if you had a king, would you?
Well, in a way, that's what I was saying. Voting would become much more difficult and not as frequently. And you know how in Russia, several other countries, they just vote for the leader who's already there, and that's the only person on the ballot.
Yeah.
So, that could be our next election after this one.
Well, we've got to hope that that doesn't happen.
We do.
Well, and this 2024 election is going to be a big, what would you call it, turning point? We don't know. And then we were kind of talking the other day, what would be worse, Trump winning or Trump losing? Now, that's kind of...
If Trump loses, he'll go away. Not immediately, but he will eventually go away.
Well, that would be...
I really would be very surprised if the things that even he is actually threatening, there'll be blood will flow in the streets if he loses.
Yeah.
And then he tries to back that up with, that's an analogy. He's not smart enough to use analogies, but... That's what he's saying. Yeah, you better vote for me or there'll be riots.
And Kathy, you brought up the voting. That was one of the ones that I was hoping we could talk about maybe getting together on. Voting should be easier for everybody.
I can't believe it in places like Florida or I guess lots of places. You stand in line for hours to vote. I've never lived in a place where I've had to do that.
Well, long ago, and when I was working out of town, that's when I started in California voting by mail. I think that's just the way to go.
It only makes sense,
Well, it does, because I could be out of town. I've missed some votes, but, you know, not the case with voting by mail. And I don't understand that craziness about everybody.
Because you can just fill up that mailbox with those phony ballots.
And, that.
Well, but that doesn't happen.
It doesn't.
That's crazy land. It's all a myth.
Right. And then the last one on the voting was... This won't change probably in my lifetime, but the Electoral College, I just think that's outdated.
It should be the popular vote. I think it should be the popular vote.
Well, me too. And like I said, it did hurt, I'll use our side, few times. But had the reverse been true, I bet they would have been hollering, hey, it's time to change the Electoral College. I just think it is. I just don't see the positive of that anymore. And then now it's down to, and I'm not quite sure about this, but they're always like, it's going to hinge on one state. This is this only state that's going to make
so
a difference.
That's scary.
Well, you know, so should we just not vote and let Pennsylvania vote?
Well, that's what it's telling the people who have never voted before, you know, the young people who have turned since the last election, who have turned 18. And I would like to tell them all, please vote. And if you want to keep your rights that you already have, please vote with an informed mind. And if you're listening to this show, we've told you a lot about the information that we have.
A few months ago, I said at the college where not sure who was sponsoring, might have been the League of Women Voters, were trying to get people registered. And we sat there in the lobby, or whatever you call it, a little sign, and talked to kids as they came by. And, I'm not interested, as it was a lot of what we got.
Well, they're turned off because they don't think it'll make any difference. And that's sad, because we can't allow that to continue on. And it's interesting, because at the same time that we have all this stuff going on, it really does come down to either you believe that the vote matters or you don't. And if you can muddy the water enough to say, well, I don't care what those and machines, you know, they're all crazy. They were all rigged, and that doesn't matter. And, oh, those votes, they came in through the mail. They don't count. And, you know, so that to discourage people from even thinking that voting matters, then where are you? Where are you?
Let's have the
strong man wins.
Do you know in Australia, every person who casts a vote gets money for voting? And when I heard about it, it was $50. I don't
really
know if it's the same. They to encourage people to go to the polls, they give you a coupon or a check or $50.
I know in some places you're required by law to vote.
They have so much higher turnout because you're
free beer. I'm not sure.
It's a carrot instead of a stick, you know. Vote because we're going to give you money. But they want a good turnout because, well, America doesn't
because
have a very
they believe
good turnout.
In their, they believe in their process.
Yes, that's where I'm going with that.
Let me get this right. Here we go. The government gives them money to vote?
Right, not a particular party. The government everybody the same amount just to go to the polls.
Huh. I don't quite agree with that.
It's a reward.
I know. Well, you shouldn't have to do that.
The voting is a reward. Yeah.
I think. Yeah. And here's another. I'll go a little further. When I do vote by mail, it's always postage free. I think. Somebody might want to double check.
No, I think so.
But my thing was, it's a privilege to vote. I'll gladly put it. Whatever the stripe is.
I think if you if you take that envelope and put it in a mailbox, I think it has to have a stamp on it, doesn't it?
No, it does not require a stamp.
Okay.
I only put it in the ballot box.
Well, the ballot box doesn't, I may be wrong about that, but
you don't have to put a stamp on it.
You don't?
Okay. Well,
But Rick, what I'm saying is if you're training your dog, you're going to give it bacon bits. You're not going to say, do this because
you
love me.
I don't want my dog to vote. Or maybe I do. I don't know.
I wouldn't eat bacon bits myself, let alone give it to the dog.
Well,
be a little bit more conscious about what you're feeding your animals.
People are saying, what good has government done for me? What am I getting out of this? And that's really what it comes down to. If people think that no matter how hard they work, they're never going to get ahead, no matter how hard, how difficult things are, they're always going to be on the losing end of it. When you get a rise in pay, let's say I'm on Social Security and I get an increase in the amount that I receive every month, well, everything else goes up too. So you never really get ahead. I mean, it may look like on paper that you're making more money, but you're really not because the other costs are rising too. And so it looks like no matter how hard you're shoveling against the tide, you know you're never going to get there. And I think there are a lot of people who are just discouraged. They think, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter if I vote. I'm never going to get what I need. And what is it that I think the government owes me anyway? That's the question. What do you think the government should be doing for you? And do you think that Biden will give you what you need, or do you think Trump will give you what you need? And that's really it, isn't it? Who's going to meet my needs because of the government? They shouldn't have any role in our world at all except through government, right? Why would you want to walk across the street to say hello to that man? I wouldn't. But if he's the leader, so-called leader, and establishing the laws that do affect my life, then that's what this is about, no matter what other garbage gets down in the middle. So
if you feel like you're not getting anywhere when you get a raise in Social Security, I don't mean you personally. I mean the general person who feels like, I'm not getting anywhere because the price of groceries went up even more than this raise that I got, let alone rent, electricity,
everything goes up.
The sewage bill. Okay, but then you turn that around to the other side that wants to reduce the government and reduce it across the board evenly, like you were saying earlier, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
How does that make your life better? Okay, now government workers are being laid off. More people are out there looking for a job and the unemployment rate goes up. There's less money in the economy. This is going to improve life for everyone?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Yeah.
This is because the United States is a very big boat. It's a very big ship. it takes a long time for it to change course. And that's why we never know what small thing we've done has caused something good to happen, or what big thing we've done has caused something very bad to happen, because it's such a big boat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it's a balance that we certainly haven't achieved.
That's the multiple,
now.
Yeah. There are multiple compartments.
Oh, it's a lot of nuances. It's not just this black and white. There's a lot of gray areas. Yeah. But the infighting that we're doing now certainly isn't doing any good.
Not a bit.
I mean.
Well, the point I think we started out with was how can we help people to understand each other and take the animosity out of it? And I don't know if we're getting anywhere with this. I do think that humor is a positive force. And I think the more people can look on the funny side of things and call attention to just how ridiculous it really is. I mean, truly, it is just, it's silly. Why are we doing this? Why?
I mean, I often joke that I get all my news from The Daily Show.
Good source.
Yeah, actually it is. It's a wonderful satire. And The Tonight Show, can't think of his name right now.
Jimmy Fallon?
No.
Colbert.
Colbert is a genius. I mean, he just...
Right.
Just right on point, everything he does.
With the help of a staff of writers, yes.
He's delivering the obviously. Yeah. He's not doing it all himself.
He's using intelligent humor, basically, to point out how silly people really are and how we're doing this to ourselves. And it's a giving up of yourself to the power of somebody else's thinking. And I think that brings us full circle to if you are a person who's a staunch Catholic, you're never going to be convinced otherwise because that's what you believe. And it's the same with what's happened with our politics. I don't know how I can convince you not to think that Biden is a good guy or that he isn't. I mean,
he's a sleazy guy. Get rid of sleazy Biden.
Yeah, you're just going to think the way you think. I don't know what the weapon is that we can use to whack people upside the head and say, hey, start thinking here. Don't just swallow all of this as if it's the gospel truth.
If you're a Christian, you might notice, or if you're actually, I shouldn't say if you're a Christian. If you are a person who is considerate of other people, you might notice that Biden has said that he actually prays for Trump, and Trump has never said any such thing about Biden, anything
he's not
nice about Biden.
He's not capable of being nice to or appreciating anybody else. It's all him.
It's obviously
some type of a mental illness he has.
He's damaged.
I saw him one time giving a after-school shooting speech or something like that, and he was reading the teleprompter like he was ordering lunch at a restaurant. It was just no feeling, no anything. He was reading the words that somebody else wrote for him.
Yeah.
Then him saying, standing over the grave of a dead soldier and saying, these guys were all suckers. What was in it for them? Things like that. When he himself was used his father's money to get out of going in the military.
Mm. I believe the man lacked total compassion. In empathy.
Well,
and
this gets me back to, again, this is all about the brain. His brain is not wired in the same way. Now, we can call him all kinds of names, but he doesn't have empathy. He lacks the ability to care about anybody else. And it's very sad, really, because he's trying so hard to be the big, strong man. If he really were strong, he wouldn't need to do all of this stuff, if you follow my thinking.
Yeah.
So it's the other people who throw in with him and believe all the crazy stuff that he does. Because I think on one hand, it's entertaining.
That's a big...
He's like a clown at the circus. All eyes on you, you know?
That's a big part of how he won the first time, and the leaders of all the major networks kind of more or less apologized for giving him all that airtime for free because he made all these ridiculous statements.
Yeah, people want to see what he was saying. You know, when
Sarah
Palin was running for vice president, her website went crazy. But it didn't mean that people liked her. People want to say what stupid things she's saying today.
Yeah. It's a real problem.
Yeah, it is.
I guess everybody has seen the little interview he did where these two guys are interviewing him about the Bible and asking him what his favorite part of it or where he gave it. And he just kept saying, well, it's a personal thing for me and I'd rather not discuss it. And over and over and over again, he said that. Now, he knew he was going to that interview and he knew that he was going to be asked about things in the Bible. He could have taken 20 minutes to get one of his people who's actually read the Bible to give him some notes.
And
he could have like Sarah did, write it on her hand. And say both of the Corinthians were pretty good guys. I was thinking like that.
Exactly.
He's not sure which Corinthian he likes best.
Right.
But see, these are just the little bubbles out there that we hang on to that make us curious. And we really are. It's like a movie. It's like we're going to go in now. There's going to be another edition of this storyline. We're going to go see what's going to happen next. And so we're all kind of perched at the edge of our seat now to say, how is this movie going to end? You know, are we all going to be cheering for the hero or the bad guy? And which is which? We don't know. A lot of people don't know. They think that they're on the winning side, but they don't know for sure. So we're really caught in a crazy land, you know, really schizophrenic. Yeah. It's schizophrenic.
Let me just do this one more time. We only have a few minutes left, but
okay.
If you want to get in touch with us, text 541-661-4098. And also, this is kind of an open forum. If you want to be a part of it someday or a part of anything we do actually on KCRW, we're always looking for volunteers. And if
you can, come and sit in my chair.
If somebody could spend an hour on Sunday sitting here at the table expressing their views. And we're not going to ask you your views before you sit down. We're not going to ask whether who you voted for, how much money you make, what religious you are, whether you like people of your own sex or not. None of those questions. We would like to have a warm body who can help us out and say something. And we will not censor somebody coming in and that's sitting at this table expressing their view.
Who's going to answer the text if somebody does do it? Are you?
I am not technically savvy, but I have learned how to.
Come to you?
This is it right here. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Evidently,
nobody felt that they needed to speak up today to challenge any of our points of view.
Well, I'm going to reach out to my friend down there, see what happened, and hopefully invite him soon. And I'll find out what did happen later, I guess. So, and I will add, what might have asked this already. So, do we think there's hope in the near future of coming together with our disparate politics right now? I don't in the near future.
All of us were alive in the mid 60s and 70s. Think of how torn up this country was during Vietnam. Mm. We ain't even close to that right now.
See,
not
I believe
even
we're
in
worse.
That ballpark.
I believe we're worse, and maybe I've forgotten.
No, do you remember they were blowing up college dorm rooms or whatever?
Well,
there was true violence going on.
Yeah, but we didn't have the capacity through cell phones and everything that we have now at that time. So I think we are worse off in a sense. Am I making any sense when I say this?
No, you're not. And I'm the producer. You're not supposed to disagree with me. Okay, we're down to the last minute. If we can go around with some final thoughts, 45 seconds.
Well, I hope that everybody will do whatever research is needed and really take a hard look at what you want and get out there and vote.
And please, please vote. Yes. It's so easy in Oregon.
Yeah,
and California.
California.
That's right.
That's the bottom line. Vote and participate. Participate.
Yeah.
Get in touch with your local.
You don't
local.
Like what we had to say? Let us know.
Yep. Okay. We didn't get any time at all to help the pathologist's assistants.
Shoot, no.
See, that's what happened, Shirley.
Oh.
Well,
maybe next week we'll give you some pointers about cleaning petri dishes.
Okay.
Well.